Oh, Shiloh, we greet you in the name of the Lord, for his name is great and greatly to be praised. This morning, we proclaim upon you the blessings and the grace of God for your lives. And we want to remind you of something that you all know very well, but it's always good to be reminded of, and that is that the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you, and we love you with the love of the Lord also. I want to turn to my wife, and she has a scripture to share.
Scripture, which has been very close to my heart these days. It is Psalm 56, verse 3. These are the words of King David when the Philistines captured him at Gath. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. When I was younger, I used to think that this verse was mainly for smaller children who were awakened by a bad dream. But I have come to know over the years that it is for all ages. We can find peace, hope, and comfort when we embrace this scripture. It opens the door for us to focus on who God is. He says to us, focus on who I am. I am God, and there is none other. I am with you always. I am your very present help in time of need. I am the good shepherd. I am your perfect peace. There are ways we can maintain that focus. Here is an example. There's something my husband and I started doing the first week of our church at home services. Each Sunday, after Pastor Eric's message and prayer time, we share communion together. In this way, we focus on Jesus, on how much we are loved, and what he has accomplished for us. That blesses us, and we believe that it blesses him as well. So please remember, just as my husband said, Jesus loves you, and so do we.
There are many events in the Bible that, as they transpired, they seem to establish situations that were very difficult, even desperate. But the hand of God has moved so many times in those situations to redeem them and to cause them, instead of being disastrous, to be times when he has gained great victories and even miracles have been performed. I'm thinking about an example of that this morning. I'm thinking of the time that is described in the book of Acts in chapter 8, when the persecution of the church became so intense that the church had to disperse. They had to scatter. The word says that they went everywhere preaching the word. Well, the result of that scattering is revealed as you go on to Acts 17. And there, Acts 17 discusses how when Paul and Silas showed up in Thessalonica, the Thessalonians said, those who have turned the world upside down have come here too. And I believe the appropriate result and statement that should be made from our experience here with this virus is, blessed are those who have come and set the world in right order. So we bless you. We pray for God's continued blessing for all of you. Looking forward to seeing you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Hi, Shiloh. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Tamara Fowler, and I'm Shiloh's administrative director. When Pastor Eric came to us and asked us to do a word of encouragement for you all, my first thought was, but I'm the one that needs encouragement. So as I share what I feel like the Lord's given me today, I hope that you will hear it from a heart of someone who is being challenged by the Lord day by day in this situation, as I'm sure you are as well. So the most recent thing that the Lord has been challenging me with is transformational gratitude. In Proverbs 15:15, it says, "All the days of the afflicted are evil or bad, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast." And that says to me that thanksgiving or gratitude can change our situation or turn us around. So transformational gratitude is a choice. It's a choice moment by moment that we make. We can choose thanksgiving or gratitude in the midst of our pain. It's not an easy choice though, but it is worth it. And choosing it can transform our lives. It grows as we practice it, so try it out. Start thanking God in the little things, and soon you'll be thanking Him in bigger and bigger things. And you won't be able to stop thanking Him. I learned recently that thankfulness or gratitude can reduce your stress by 23%. I don't know about you, but I could sure use some stress reducing at this point in time. Secondly, from the beginning of this year, during our time of prayer and fasting, God has been calling me to a deeper and deeper relationship with Him. When we are in a committed relationship with Him, it causes transformation in our lives. This transformation comes by spending time in His Word and in His presence. So I've been spending a lot of time with worship music just playing in the background while I'm doing other things around the house, or even while I'm just relaxing. When things start to feel extra stressful, Sean and I will often just put on worship music and let it change the atmosphere in our homes. During this time, He's been challenging me again and again with a few questions, and I in turn now would like to challenge you with those same questions. Are you allowing this time of difficulty to refocus your relationship with Him? Or are you just same old, same old? Pastor Eric, one of the first sermons when we were not able to meet in person, was about redirecting or refocusing. So are you allowing the challenges of this time to deepen your relationship with the Lord? Or are you allowing these times to turn you away from Him? Some hard questions, but questions that I think we all need to ask as we go day by day through these difficult times. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint." He will renew our strength as we wait on Him.
Greetings, Shiloh family.
Blessings to you. We miss you, we love you, and we're looking forward to seeing you again and fellowshipping with you here at the church. Praise God for you always, and we're continuing to pray for you.
Willie and I would like to share a scripture with you in 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind." Willie, would you like to reiterate on that?
Sure. You know, the scripture says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. And that means to us that we, as the body of Christ, we're not walking around fearful. We're not letting the things that we hear on the media and stuff like that govern how we act and what we do. You know, we're walking by the Word of God. But what is it that God has given us? Therefore, because we have the power of these things on our side, we're able to go into our world and pray without ceasing, because that's what God is expecting us to do, is to pray without ceasing and to be ready to lift each other up and to fellowship with each other and do a lot of the things that we're doing right now, reaching out and helping people, praying for people, and just being Christ in the flesh to people around us and letting them know that, hey, even though we have this pandemic that is attacking our world today, that doesn't mean that this thing end. All it means is that we have another enemy to overcome, and we can overcome that enemy through the Word of God and through standing on His Word and praying for one another, loving one another, and continuing to just do the things that God expects us to do, because we are children of God. Mm-hmm. And we are made to be children of God because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that blood has not failed, neither will it fail, and it will continue to be poured out upon everyone that reaches out to Him. and it will continue to save, and it will continue to cause us to walk in victory no matter what the pandemic is, no matter what the disease or the virus is, no matter what comes against us. The Word of God says that we overcome by the word of our testimony and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are the church of God.
Yes.
That means that in our house, in us is prayer, in us is love, in us is caring, in us is the power of God moving. And therefore, as we continue to exemplify the love of God, as we go about our day-to-day living and just praying for one another and doing what God expects us to do, you know God is going to do what He says He will do through us and for us. And we just want to encourage you to continue to pray for one another, continue to look forward to meeting again, and continue to just reaching out in whatever way that you can, you know.
So walk in the faith and stay in touch with each other and continue to lift each other up. And we thank God for you, look forward to seeing you again. And remember, we're just children of God, praying for each other, loving each other, and looking forward to seeing each other again. So having said that, I'd just like to say, have a blessed evening and continue to just do what you know God would have you to do. Amen.
When we walk in faith, we push away fear. And it's so important that we understand that we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. And we as the body of Christ, we must, it's imperative that you walk by faith. And only faith can push away fear. So family, I encourage you to walk by faith and not allow this time, this period, this darkness to overtake you. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We all miss you so much. Willie and I talk about it all the time, how important the time that we have together and the fellowship that we have together. Who would have known the last Sunday that we were here would have been our last Sunday to see you at this time. But we're believing, God, that next Sunday or the Sunday after or maybe the Sunday after that, we'll all be together again. And what a day of rejoicing that will be. Amen.
Shiloh, good morning. This is Elder Jerry Norris. My wife and I, Judy, want to send you blessings in the name of the Lord. I want to say that we miss your presence and your fellowship. We pray that our return to fellowship and ministries will be soon. I want to reiterate to all of you that Shiloh leaders and our pastors are here for you. And we ask you to please let us know if you have any needs and prayer requests during this time. In times like this, it's paramount that we keep our eyes on Jesus. Romans 12:2-3 is a key scripture to this principle and paints a perfect picture of our faith in Him. Verse 2 says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father." What a dichotomy. Our Savior took on the curse and agony of the cross, but at the same time, He had joy. If Jesus, while enduring the emotional, spiritual, and physical agony of the cross, can have joy, we can too in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, because we have our eyes on Jesus and He's in us. Verse 3 puts a finished touch on the importance of keeping our eyes fixed on Him. Verse 3 says, "For consider Him, Jesus, who endured such hostilities by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Shiloh, our prayer is that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus is greater than any pandemic. His love has action to it. Nothing can separate us from His love. His love for you is able to do exceedingly abundant beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that is in us. Shiloh, God bless you as we walk in this together with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good morning, Shiloh. As a part of the leadership team of Shiloh Christian Ministries, We wanted to come today and encourage you and your family and greet you. We miss you and we pray that you and your family is finding peace in the middle of the virus storm these days. As we have shared today, Pastor Marge has a scripture for you, and she will be sharing with you.
I'd like to share a scripture that the Lord gave me from Micah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And I'll be reading from the Message version. And it says, I'm calling a meeting, Jacob. I want everyone back, all the survivors of Israel. I'll get them together in one place, like sheep in a fold, like cattle in a corral, a milling throng of homebound people. Then I, God, will burst all confinements and lead them out into the open. They'll follow their king. I will be out in front leading them. And I thought this was so apropos for the times and the seasons that we're currently in. As God says that he's called us together and that he is also going to bring us out. So I want to mention three things, and that is, we know that the enemy has tried to bring containment to us, and he has done that in such a way as to try to bring hopelessness, helplessness, and isolation to the people. But God says that he has a plan and a purpose in all of this. He says that his purpose is that he's calling us. He's calling us to himself. He's calling us together, but he's calling us unto himself. It's a time also of prayer, a time when he's calling us into our prayer closets, to shut the door and to seek him and to intercede like we've never done before, to actually come into his presence through prayer and to receive that reward that he mentions in Matthew 6:6. But also it's a time of preparation, because God is preparing us for what lies ahead. And that is, once the confinement is over, once he breaks through and there is a release and an openness, there's also going to be an outpouring of his spirit and a true revival of his spirit and his presence that brings just a harvest of souls. So let's be encouraged in this word today that God has a plan, he has a purpose, that we are in prayer and we are standing with him in intercessions as he prepares us for the future. Amen.
Jeremiah 33:3 continues along and helps to prepare us. And it says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you don't know. That means if you call to the Lord in prayer, he will answer you and he will tell you. And I'm sure during these times of confinement that you found time that you are pushing closer into God, that you're pushing closer into your families. And in this time, he is listening and he is hearing and he is going to tell you some things. And then in verse 6, it says, behold, I will bring to it, I will bring to your area health and healing, and I will heal them, and I will reveal to them an abundance of peace and of truth, and I will restore the fortunes. And this, he said, the Lord is saying, I will bring health to you. Where you need health in your bodies, he'll bring it.
Yes.
Where you need healing in your bodies, he'll bring it.
Amen.
Where you need peace and truth. And in this season, mm-hmm. I believe that God is revealing peace and truth to each one of us.
Mm-hmm.
So as we're closing this greeting out to you, I pray today that God will bless you, that you will experience his peace, yet everlasting love, his protection, that his angels will be all around you, and that you will experience supernatural provision for you and your family, that you will experience God's presence and glory as never before in this season. We love you. We miss you.
Yes.
And we look forward to seeing you soon. God bless you.
Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters of Shiloh. Elder Peak here. And I just wanted to offer up
a scripture and some encouragement today as we deal with these tough times of social distancing. I wanted to talk a little bit about connection today. And the scripture that I want to use comes out of John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. And I'll be reading out of the Amplified version. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says to them, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, in speaking about connection, we've heard several times from our pulpit and from our pastors, over the past year or two about connection. In fact, it's connecting is really part of how we function at Shiloh. Number one, we've got connection groups. We've got weekly classes and meetings in which we connect. And we've got our times on Sunday when we connect. So needless to say, connecting is an important part of who we are at Shiloh. And we all do that really, really well. According to the scripture that I just read, though, connecting or having a connection is also very important to the Lord. But it is also important to the development of our relationship with him. You see, we do a lot of connecting corporately as a church body. And, you know, that's not a bad thing. It's a great thing, in fact. It's a vital thing. But what about connecting personally with Jesus? I ask you, how does your connection to him fare on a day-to-day basis? I believe that this scripture holds, the scripture that we just read holds a great deal of wisdom into how we should go about our everyday. You know, like a branch that grows strong by getting its nutrients from the connection to the vine, so we grow strong in Christ by getting our spiritual nutrients from our connection with the Lord. We've seen in the Bible, even Jesus needed to get away to connect with the Father. He needed that recharge. He needed that power. He needed spiritual nutrients to continue in the Father's plan for him. Well, in much the same way, we need to connect with and remain in Jesus continuously throughout our day. We need his power to flow from his vine into his branches, which is us. And his nutrients, we need them to nourish us. Otherwise, we can't accomplish his purpose for us, which is ultimately to bring him glory. So just like this lamp that you see here needs a connection to the electrical outlet for power to function, for power so that it'll function, we need a connection to Jesus for that power to live each day in accordance to the plan that he has for each one of us. You see, the lamp is not on right now. So no connection to the outlet means that there is no power. But with a connection, power is allowed to flow. Remember, no connection equals no power. But with a connection, there is power. Brothers and sisters, I hope this scripture and this little simple demonstration encourages each one of you to make your connection with Jesus a priority. Don't just make it once a day. That's great that you do it once a day. But our connection to him needs to be continuous throughout our whole day. I hope this has been an encouragement to you. And I just want to say on behalf of my family and I, we love all of you at Shiloh. And we just pray for protection and for health.
Good morning. We do thank God that he's given us another gorgeous day out here in the desert. Another day to praise and worship him. Marcinia and I, we've had an enjoyable time spending quality time together. We're spending time getting into the Word, praying, and nurturing our relationship with God as well as ourselves. And for that, we are very grateful. However, we truly miss the interacting with you, the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we look forward to returning to a time when we can be more actively involved with each other. Our hope, though, is that you will cherish and take advantage of the time you have and seriously meditate on the Word of God, and in the process, sense His presence in a very personal way. Remember, the help you need in making wise choices and decisions and solving life's problems are all embedded in the Word of God. So dig in. Now is the time, a special time that God has made available for us to grow closer to Him. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3, 2, excuse me, 16 and 17. And it says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is used to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our life. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses Scripture to prepare and equip His people to do every good work.
Amen. Another golden opportunity we have is for prayer, which is our pathway to communicating and personally connecting with God, our loving Father. Sometimes we feel that we don't know what to pray, but He even gives us an outline of how to pray. Look at Matthew 6, 9 through 13, the Lord's Prayer. Other options would be to pray the Scriptures. And of course, there are numerous prayers in the Bible. Recently, I have been led to do a study of the 23rd Psalm. The first sentence, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." This leads me into the importance and assurance that my shepherd, the Lord, will supply all my needs, and therefore I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside the still waters. I then am at rest, and He restores my soul. There is so much more to this psalm, and I encourage you to check it out. For me, the use of scriptures such as these have helped me in my prayer life and have proven to be very, very comforting. When you pray, don't try to emulate anyone else. Be sincere and just be yourself.
And you guys have a blessed day. God is good, and we appreciate that.
Good evening, Shiloh. This is Elder Tony and
Margarita.
We just wanted to take a few moments to speak some word of encouragement into you. Pastor Eric put together this idea that this Sunday, all these videos would be compiled. And instead of preaching from the pulpit, you would hear from the key leaders, pastors, and elders in the church. So to start off, I have a scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This section in my Bible is called the Wisdom of God, and something we need to seek right now during these tough times. The Bible says, "For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are believing, saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, bottom line. To Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, which you are, Shiloh, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I shared this word with you today because that's exactly what we need right now. God is confounding the so-called wise and the alleged brilliant. This will end when he says it will end, when he's seen enough and people have turned themselves back to God. Remember, he's a jealous God. And too many of us out there in the world have turned our backs on God. And this will end when that ends. I just wanted to share that with you today. Stay strong, stay encouraged, and we miss you guys. We love you, and I miss all your smiling faces and your hugs during greeting time and before church and after church. This will all end soon, and we'll all be back together. Last words, hon?
Yes, I just want to say I miss everyone. Miss, like Tony, the hugs, the fellowship. Stay blessed, stay safe. And we have everyone in prayer. We love you so much. We love our church. We love our pastors and leaders and all of you. Amen.
Amen. We love you, Shiloh.
Love
Stay
you.
Strong.
Stay strong.
Consider it pure joy when you are faced, my brothers and sisters, when you are faced with trials of many kinds. Well, you know, most of us, if not all of us, we know trials and we know a crisis. Perhaps not to the global magnitude that we're faced with this COVID virus, but a crisis nonetheless. I have often over the years encouraged my family and my students to never let a crisis go to waste. We have opportunities in every crisis. And so here's what I mean by that. Think about it. That in that, there's those two opportunities that I want to share with you. One of them is when you go through a trial and a crisis, pay attention how you respond and how you react. Because it will expose and it will show you what's inside, what's in your mind. That crisis will cause that which is inside to surface. And if you find yourself needing some adjustments, well then do so. But you know, if Jesus Christ, if Yeshua is your hope, then there is no fear. And we all know that. There is no fear. Where the scripture says, watch this, where the scripture instructs us to consider a crisis as pure joy, it can be translated to say, consider it a calm delight. Tranquilo. I love that. Tranquilo. And so it just simply means strength, supernatural strength that the Holy Spirit will minister to you. Listen, because he will use the word that you have in you and bring you that peace that he promises. Peace, I shall live with you. I love that. Now, if you don't know Yeshua, if you don't know Jesus as your hope and your Lord, at the end of this word, I'd like to pray with you so that you can come into a right relationship with God. Another opportunity, the second opportunity I want to share with you, is that if you go to our Shiloh Christian Ministries website, you will find there opportunities in how you can get involved in helping not only the body of Christ, but our community. This is our hour to shine, church. I love that. This is an opportunity that we can get involved and be of help to anyone else in crisis. You know, one of those, by the way, is called Helping Hands Extended Ministry. Call the office, ask about it, and they'll explain. And so in the scripture, it would actually can read, it can say, consider it a calm delight. Isn't that awesome? Consider it a calm delight, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is focused, is forced to be open, and it'll show its true colors. I love that. And so let it work and let it do what it's designed to do, because you become mature, you become well developed without any deficiencies on the way. And so the key here is get into the Word, get into the Scriptures, fill your mind with it. Now, if you're not a follower of Yeshua, of Jesus Christ, pray this prayer with me and say with me, God in heaven, I see my need to get right with you. I see that I need you in my life. And I admit and I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. And on the third day, he arose from the dead for me. And so I receive him and I ask him to come into my life to be my Lord, my God, and my Savior. And from this day forward, I want to live a life worthy of your name, God in heaven. If you did that and you were sincere, call our office and we will see to it that we are able to follow up on your new commitment in this journey to please and serve the Lord. Also, they may be available some materials that can put to your hands to follow up on your new commitment. So to that I say, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance towards you. And may he give you shalom. God bless. Bye-bye.